You're listening to the Eagles Insider Podcast. Now here's your host, Chris McPherson.
The 2015 season, for all intents and purposes, is upon us. The Eagles report for training camp on Saturday. The first training session is Sunday. And Tuesday marks not only the first open practice, but the first padded practice of 2015 training camp. I'm pleased to be joined here by Bo Wolf.
Hello.
Fran Duffy.
What's up, guys?
Fellas, it's time.
Back in the saddle.
You're big time, C-Mac. You got your name in the intro and everything.
What can I say? It wouldn't be possible without you guys, though.
That's right.
Please. I know how to dish the assists here. I'm going to throw touchdowns like Bradford.
All right.
This
let's
season
see.
Here. So we have a new home for our podcast. Just in case you didn't know, we have a channel dedicated exclusively to Eagles Insider Podcast. So make sure to subscribe to that, as well as Fran's Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast, which is the first episode of the season is already up.
Correct? Already up. So look for that. Subscribe to that podcast.
So we'll also have the Journey to the Giraffe podcast. That will run throughout the season, not just the off season. And we also have the official Philadelphia Eagles podcast channel. So make sure you download and rate and comment, whether it's on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you let us know, because we want this to be the best Eagles podcast. And it's all about you, the fans.
That's what it comes down to.
And we want to rise up in the rankings, obviously.
Certainly.
That's part of it.
So in a few minutes, we're going to catch up with second-year wide receiver Josh Huff for the interview, but we're going to get things started with our three and out.
One, two, three is a magic number.
Three!
Now it's time for three and out.
I like that drop.
Yeah, that's a great drop.
Ryan Thomas.
I like the biggie in the beginning especially.
Months in the making.
Yeah.
BT, phenomenal job. Producer BT, Chris Stevens also with us as well. Guys, doing a great job behind the scenes here. So, this is our training camp preview. So, Bo, Fran, and I will each discuss a storyline to watch. And I'm going to take the easy way out. I'm going to take the low-hanging fruit, so to speak, and go with the quarterback position. Now, everyone is going to have their eyes on Sam Bradford's progress. We saw glimpses of what he could do during the OTAs, the spring session. The arm looks live. Just has to get his feet underneath him. Now, we won't know until Sunday if he's a full participant or not in the training sessions. We're all keeping our fingers crossed. All the reports out there to this point indicate that he will be, but we'll know for sure come Sunday. But I'm going to explain why that there's plenty of optimism regarding Sam Bradford. First, I'm going to put this out there. I think he's the most talented quarterback that the Eagles have had since Donovan McNabb. Any disagreement?
What about Michael Vick in 2009? Or 2010, rather?
2010? I still think...
More talented?
More talented.
Maybe as a pure pocket passer.
I think you can have the discussion. The argument can be made either way to me.
That's a one possible question.
Okay.
But I still think overall, since McNabb.
Okay.
Second, you're reuniting Bradford with Pat Shurmur, the man who guided him to the Offensive Rookie of the Year honors back in 2010.
Yep, same season.
He's now in a similar scheme like he was when he was at Oklahoma, where he won the Heisman Trophy, guided the Sooners to the BCS National Championship game. Had plenty of success, made him the most touted, the best prospect since Peyton Manning, is what the Eagles thought when he came out in the 2010 draft. He's reunited with DeMarco Murray.
Sure.
The man he was handing the ball off to. He's got a plethora, tons of receiving options. I've told you this stat before, Bo, off camera. Danny Amendola, former Eagle, had 689 yards receiving in 2010. No Rams receiver in Bradford's tenure had more receiving yards.
Wow.
689.
Does that mean all Rams receivers, even when Bradford was not playing?
Correct.
Oh, wow.
Including last year.
Wow.
689. Last year alone.
That's crazy.
Jerry Macklin.
That's a good stat.
Jordan Matthews and Zach Ertz each topped that total.
Excellent.
I like that.
That's good stat.
One. Last two seasons that Bradford has played in, so obviously not 2014.
Right.
He has a TD interception ratio of 35 touchdowns against 17 interceptions. The man knows how to take care of the football.
And they called a lot of checkdowns. He also didn't have any good receivers.
Look who he's throwing to. That's added to my point.
Yeah, I think the upgrade from Brian Schottenheimer to Coach Chip Kelly and Pat Shurmur is about as big as whatever quarterback upgrade we're going to get.
And last but not least, everyone wants to know about the knee. Injured it back-to-back seasons. Eagles research has shown that the chance for another injury is only 10 to 12%. So I think overall, and Dr. James Andrews, who performed both operations, feels pretty good about his chance to become fully healthy, back to where he was before the injuries?
Yeah, I mean, to me, the big question is just is the injury, because if he's healthy, he has everything Chip Kelly wants. He has the size, he has the arm strength, the ability to get the ball out quickly. He's got great downfield accuracy. It's really all about the knee to me. And if he is healthy, I think he gives Chip what he wants, and this offense can hum again like it did 2 years ago. I mean, and not like last year's offense was bad. It's 2 years in a row scoring a franchise record for points scored. So I think really everybody's going to be looking at that knee and how he performs. And I don't really have many doubts that he'll be able to pick up the offense quickly. He's a very smart guy, and I think he'll really be good in every phase of the game. It just depends on the knee to me.
And if you're worried about, can he handle being a franchise quarterback? He has not done that to this point in the NFL. St. Louis is certainly not Philadelphia, but Oklahoma is a big-time program.
No question.
Carry that to the national championship game. So I think he can handle the pressure.
Yeah.
So, and again, Mark Sanchez, I think he's going to try to push for the starting job. I thought he looked great in the spring. Matt Barkley, I thought, had a very underrated training camp and preseason a year ago. Just totally lost in the shadow of Nick Foles and Mark Sanchez, the performances they had. And we got Tim Tebow. We're not even getting to Tim Tebow.
And G.J. Kinney, listed as a quarterback despite playing wide receiver and running back.
That's the whole thing. So, yes, we'll throw him in the mix. I know for our position preview, I think we had to include him
because
he's still listed that way. So that's my look at the quarterback position. Obviously, Sam Bradford, to me, gives this team the best chance. Certainly, Mark Sanchez proved that he could win. You know, 4-4 as a starter. You count the Houston game 5-4. Gave this team a chance. But I think the ceiling is just so much higher if Sam Bradford is back to full health and the guy.
All right, I think that's good on that. And I would agree that that is obviously the main storyline heading into Eagles training camp, hashtag Eagles camp.
Yes.
My one that I'll focus on is the offensive line, because it's the only position, and you know, after this crazy offseason of change that Chip Kelly engineered after taking over control of the roster, every position that the Eagles have had some change this season is either obviously better or there's a clear succession plan from last season. So quarterback, obviously, whether or not Bradford turns out to be better than Foles, that decision was made, obviously. Running back, I think we can agree, better top to bottom. Wide receiver, we'll see how they replace Jeremy Maclin, but we've got Nelson Aguilar, we've got Miles Austin. There are guys there to compete. Cornerback, certainly better than it was last season. Safety, I think we expect, hopefully, will be better. Walter Thurmond better maybe than Nate Allen. We'll see what happens there, but there are guys there to compete. Even at outside linebacker, Brandon Graham replaces Trent Cole, and we'll see how that depth shakes out. But on the offensive line, that's the only place where we don't have either someone who's definitely better or we know who's going to step in. At left guard, I think Allen Barbee, we agree, is going to be very, very solid. Evan Mathis was a two-time Pro Bowler. I'm not dismissing him, but Allen Barbee, I think, can step in and take over that job. Right guard, though, who knows what's going to happen? You know, you've got 4 or 5 guys competing. Matt Tobin, probably, I guess, the slight favorite. You've got John Moffitt, who came back from being out of football, has starting experience. Andrew Gardner, Dennis Kelly. None of those guys has ever started more than 8 games in a season. I think if I were to handicap it, I would put like odds at starting week 1 at right guard, I'd go Tobin 40%, Moffitt 30%, Gardner 20%, Dennis Kelly 5%, and the field 5%.
The odds on Moffitt are interesting.
I mean,
former third round pick, he obviously has talent, no question.
And if he gets it all together, maybe he's the guy. But and what concerns me is not even necessarily who's going to start at right guard, but what happens if everybody doesn't stay healthy on the offensive line like they did 2 seasons ago. The drop-off from Mathis to Barbee may not be great, but the drop-off from Barbee as your 6th offensive lineman to maybe Gardner as your 6th offensive lineman is a little bit more worrisome. So I think that this is the area where, if it works out for the Eagles, Chip Kelly has really earned our trust in that he was able to he can make this offensive line work without maybe the best caliber of talent, and we'll see how the roster moves forward. I mean, we were all surprised they didn't take an offensive lineman in the draft.
Sure.
Maybe one of those undrafted guys will come in and make an impact. But finding out the state of the offensive line through the preseason games, through training camp practice, that's one of the things that I'll be looking forward to.
That's right, and you didn't include Malcolm Bunch. My guy.
Is that your guy? That's your X-factor?
I don't know. I think he might be my guy.
Yeah? What about Brett Boyko? Derek's
I like Brett Boyko, too, but Bunch has
I've always
some
been a Josh Andrews fan as well.
That's true. So. You've been on the Josh Andrews bandwagon for some
time.
Yeah,
maybe coming off that. We'll see.
All right, we'll see. All right, so the position I want to talk about was the secondary. Obviously a huge point of contention with Eagles fans last year, both at corner and at safety. The departure of Nate Allen at the safety position left a hole there that, look, there's a crew of guys that could look to take that starting job back. And it could be Walter Thurman, who a lot of people see as a better fit inside, whether he's at nickel corner or at safety, as opposed to outside at corner where he has played a little bit in the past. Jalen Watkins obviously was a fourth-round pick in 2014. Didn't see the field too much this past season, but will have an opportunity to compete both inside at corner, at nickel corner, and then also at safety. Chris Maragos, Chris Pozinski, and then obviously Earl Wolfe as well. You've got a group of guys that, look, if one of those guys can step up, and even if they, to me, and you guys know, I've always been a Nate Allen guy. I didn't think that he was nearly as bad as some of the fans or some of the media would lead you to believe. If you can repeat and kind of get that same level, I think the Eagles will be in good shape there at safety. And then at corner, look, obviously the Eagles are looking to improve there. You got Byron Maxwell, who is the jewel of the free agent period. Chip Kelly has said he was the best corner, the best defensive back on the market when you look at their board. But then you look at Nolan Carroll and Eric Rowe, who are going to compete in camp for that starting position on the outside. You got to like what Rowe brings to the table with his length, his physicality, his athleticism. Really excited about what Rowe can bring. And then you've got Ja'Cory Shepherd, who was a sixth-round pick. Shepherd, I mean, his size, his athleticism, his ability to play the ball in the air, he's going to be really, really intriguing moving forward.
Shepherd.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see Shepherd in camp. And then you've got Randall Evans as well, who was drafted in the sixth round. So Brandon Boykin, E.J. Biggers. I mean, there's talent all over the place at the cornerback position. I'm excited to see
Denzel Rice getting some buzz as well.
That's true. That's a good point. So. Yeah. And Jerome Copeland. Don't forget about him at safety. So there's
I would remember Denzel Rice before I'll remember Jerome Copeland.
We'll
how about that?
Should we just pull out the whole roster and have you go through name by name? Just name every single guy.
Maybe a couple weeks.
So what we're going to do now is we've given you the biggest storylines to watch during training camp. We're going to delve into some of them a little bit later on in the program. But up next, Bo and I are going to present the interview. Second-year wide receiver Josh Huff. Can he make that proverbial leap from year one to year two? We catch up with Josh Huff.
And now it's time for what you've all been waiting for, the interview.
Our first section of the interview, we welcome in wide receiver Josh Huff as we look ahead to training camp. It's less than a week away. Finally can get things rolling here. Josh, as you get ready for your second training camp, what's it like knowing that you're going to be out there working with the first team and having the chance to be a starter in this offense this season?
Man, it feels amazing to finally get the chance to work with the first team and just get out there. And all the things that I worked on this past offseason is finally coming whole. And I just can't wait to get out there with the ones and show the coaches what I can do and show my teammates what I can do most of all.
Where did you feel like you had to improve?
Just being more consistent. It's still things that I need to work on, but most of all, I just need to be more consistent, be where I'm supposed to be, when I'm supposed to be there, catch the ball first, then try to make a play afterwards and not trying to do too much. Be comfortable and be confident with everything you do.
The confidence thing is very interesting to me, Josh, because wide receivers are, you know, thought to be the most confident group of guys. And through high school, through college, obviously, you're getting the ball a lot. You're dominating. You're mm-hmm. you're the fastest guy on the field. What is it like to have that as a rookie? You're not getting the ball quite as much. What was it like in your head?
Just to go through that whole thing, my rookie year, it was definitely humbling. Just because from being a guy through high school, from being a guy through college, and then coming here and going up against top competition, and then the injury that set me back is just. It was just a lot to take in as a rookie and me wanting to be out there, me wanting to get better each and every day with my teammates. I just fell behind. And when I came back, I was further behind than I thought I was. And the whole confidence thing, it's a big deal, especially when you're coming in and you're expecting to do so much from yourself. And then you can't do that. And then when you do get your opportunities, it just things doesn't go your way. And then the confidence goes away. And then it just starts hiding from within yourself. So I guess you got to find a little balance there to find that confidence. And if you do mess up on a play, just forget about it and go on to the next because you're going to have plenty of opportunities.
Do you think confidence is more important for a wide receiver than other positions?
Most definitely because – people think just because you're a wide receiver, you're supposed to catch the ball, every single ball that's thrown to you, and you're not going to have a bad game, or you're not going to have a down game or whatnot. But you only can control what you control. And if you just so happen to drop a ball, forget about it and go on to the next play, because it's a guarantee that the quarterback is going to come back to you and he's expecting you to make a play for the team.
So I would wonder if it would be a cornerback, because you're the guy getting beat consistently and there's not a whole lot you can do, and it seems like it's easier for the wide receiver to win versus a cornerback who's, you know, basically his play is being dictated by what the wide receiver does.
I play both positions, but I just think that in certain coverages you have help over the top and you're funneling them into the side or whatnot, but when it's man on man, you're on the island, then as long as you don't get beat deep, I'm pretty sure that it's okay. But at the same time, you want to be the best and you want to bring out the best. So that brings the competitiveness out of you, and you want to, again, be the best at your position. So, I mean, my whole thing is, as a receiver, you have to be confident. You have to be confident in everything that you do.
You and Chip Kelly have a father-son type relationship. Did you go to him throughout the course of the year to tell him how you were feeling, to tell him how you were, you know, having a hard time dealing with the ups and downs of the rookie season?
During off season, like I said, when I had the drive home, you know, I thought and contemplated on everything that, you know, the things that I did well last year and the things that I needed to work on. And after I figured out what I needed to work on, I did give Coach Kelly a text message, shoot him a text message and see what I can do better or whatnot. And he was just like, be yourself. And once he told me that, things started to click, and I just started to be myself and be confident in everything I do and just have myself relaxed. And when I got here, when I came back this offseason into OTAs and minicamp, it was just like second nature. And I was making plays during OTAs and OSPs and minicamp and all that. So, but of course, I still had those lapses where, you know, I would drop a ball here and there. But because of the things that I went through this offseason, I immediately forgot about it, because, you know, you can't worry about that play when you have to worry about the next play. And if you're worrying about the last play on the next play, then it's just going to lead to bad things.
We want to, you know, we want to move forward, and I don't want to harp on a maybe tough rookie year, but was there a point where you remember thinking that maybe that was the lowest point of your rookie season? And what helped you sort of get out of it, aside from the drive, I guess? Who else was helpful towards you?
My wife, my dad, just taking a step back in life and just remembering how I got here and just really focusing it on why I love the game. And the thing that I probably really thought about the most was this offseason, my wife got pregnant. So
congratulations.
Thank you. That right there alone just put me on to the next level, because I have an extra mouth to feed, and it's a child of my own. And, you know, you don't want to let that child down. You want to give him everything that you never had. And that's the biggest thing for me right now, is do everything for him and do everything for my wife.
The kickoff return touchdown against the Titans. We do these events here at the NovaCare Complex where the coaches sort of talk to guys and show film. And Coach Phipp was showing the week of practice preparing for the Titans game that you guys had scouted their specific return team. They had one guy who was slow on the outside. Mm-hmm. You were going to get around him. How were you surprised that it worked out so well, exactly as you had practiced it, and speak to just the level of preparation that you guys do on special teams?
Special teams here is like offense and defense. We prepare like, you know, if it comes down to the last kick of the game, we're going to do everything to win. Our main goal is to score every time we get the ball, whether it's punt return or kickoff return. And if it's kick cover or punt, we're looking to get the ball for the offense. And I mean, Phipp, he's an exceptional special teams coach, one of the best coaches in the league. And for us to score so many touchdowns on special teams last year as we did, it catapulted us into the next category. But, you know, certain things didn't go our way on offense, and we all wasn't clicking at once. And once we're able to click all at once, then it's just going to be a fine tune of things, and we're going to see great things. And, I mean, like I said, the special teams here is like no other. You know, we take it very seriously. We have individual blocks each and every practice where, you know, we're honing in on our techniques and what we can do better and all that. So, no, I wasn't shocked at all how well it worked out.
What were you thinking, though, as you were scoring your first touchdown, going 108 yards?
I mean, once I crossed the goal line, it was just like, wow.
After you stiff-armed that guy on the ground.
Wait. What school did that guy go to?
I don't remember who it was.
Was it Brandon G?
Was it Brandon G?
Yeah. Wake Forest.
Disown him.
So.
But once I crossed the goal line, it was just a sign of relief. Just to see all my hard work pay off and my childhood dreams come to life, it was just a fun sight. I mean, and it just made me want more, and I'm looking for more this season.
Did you play a lot of running back as a kid?
I did.
You can tell, because what I love about your game is that when you get the ball in your hands, whether it's after a reception, whether it's on a kickoff return, you have great vision. You know exactly what to do with it. It's almost like watching a running back get the ball in space. Do you have that mentality almost as a receiver, that as soon as you get the ball, you almost turn to a back and
most definitely
make a transition?
You also run so angry.
Yeah. I mean, I love contact. Not many receivers would say that, but I love contact. I feel like DBs get to take their anger out on us when we're coming across the middle. Why can't we take it out on them when we have the ball in our hand? So, you know, I love to get hit. I love to give out hits. And, I mean, like, I think it was Marshawn Lynch. He was like, he's going to get got, but he's going to give it more than he get got. Mm-hmm. So that's how I see things. And it's going to be plays where I get hit, but best believe I'm going to remember that number. I'm going to remember that name, and I'm going to try to get them either on a crack block or when I get the ball in my hands.
About the sort of searching for contact, when you got hurt in the preseason, was that was on a similar play, right, where you were sort of dishing out the hit yourself?
Yeah.
Did you have to sort of learn when the right time to do that is? Was there a talking point with the coaches about that?
On a play that I got hurt during the preseason with the Patriots, it was just one of those plays where I had kind of did like a little quick jump over the pile that was in front of me, and the guy had filled in the hole, and as I was coming down, I put my head down and just kind of gave him like a big blow, and
the guys are bigger in the NFL.
Yeah, it affected him and me at the same time, but I really didn't feel it until I bounced off of him and tried to reverse feel, and then I felt my shoulder just it didn't feel right. So that's when I went down, and after I went back and watched the film, it was just like, okay, now that I know, I can't take certain shots at a certain time. I gotta just get what I can and get down. But if I'm in an open field and it's me and a defender, or me and a defender and two defenders, I'm gonna go look for contact.
All right.
Josh, as we look ahead to training camp here, what have you seen out of Sam Bradford? All eyes are on him and what he's gonna be able to do once training camp gets underway. During the OTs and mini camp periods, what did you see out of the new quarterback?
Sam, he's an exceptional quarterback. He has great vision. He knows what he wants in a defense, and when he sees something in a defense, he'll look one way, and he has great eyes. That's what I can say. And his arm is pretty strong. And I've heard Zach say that a couple of times, but yes, his arm is definitely strong and get the ball out really quick. I know during, I think it was, we was doing 7-on-7, and as soon as I turned around, like, the ball was up on me. So I was just like, okay, now I got to really get my head around. He throws dimes. He looks out for his receivers. He has the perfect touch on the balls when you're coming across, when you're coming in. And on deep balls, he has perfect balls. So I'm excited to see what he can do this season and for our team, and see if he can lead us to the promised land.
How about the receiver group? Obviously, you bring in Nelson. You've got you and Jordan and Riley still coming back. A lot of people wondering, is Jordan going to stay in the slot, or is he going to move outside? Where are you going to play? Are you going to do both? Without giving everything away, or even if you don't know, what do you expect for this season?
I'm pretty sure that what you guys seen during minicamp and OTAs and OSPs is where we're going to be lined up. But, again, it's all about matchups and creating mismatches. Sometimes you may see me on the inside or in the backfield or out wide, and sometimes you might see Coop on the inside at slide, and sometimes you might see Jordan on the outside and Nelson in a slide. And we have those type of receivers in our room where we're so versatile, and we can create mismatches all over the field. So I'm definitely excited to see what we can do.
You played for Chip Kelly at Oregon. Mm-hmm. You've obviously been here now through first year and a half, getting ready for your second season. How would you compare the vibe getting ready for this training camp as opposed to when you're getting ready for the seasons at Oregon with what Chip Kelly is trying to do here?
Last year when I first got in, the vibe was good going into training camp. But me being here throughout the off season and going into training camp, I just feel like this vibe is uplifting, way more uplifting. And you have guys that are busting their butts each and every day. And we all want the same goal, and we're all looking forward each and every day to practice and going out there and competing. And I don't think that you get that everywhere else in the league. There's guys out here that is hungry and you know, we're just ready. It's a great feeling being around these guys. And like I said, it's uplifting. You come in each and every day wanting to work with those type of guys.
How about you, Josh, when you're away from the complex? You know, you've got a baby on the way. You've got your wife. What do you do when you're not here?
We just moved to New Jersey.
Moving to the burbs.
So
an old married couple.
I have a basement. I turned that basement into a man cave. So
okay, what do you got?
That's your sanctuary.
Give us the setup. Sanctuary. What do you got?
So when I come home and I go unwind, I go downstairs. Either I watch TV or play some Call of Duty. Me and my dog, or I go play with my dog downstairs, and or we go on like some walks, long walks or whatever. Most of my time when I leave here, I'm just unwinding and just getting away from football as much as I can before the next day starts, and go from there.
What's in the man cave?
First, I have a projector.
Nice.
I have all like my memorabilia from college. My first NFL touchdown, my preseason touchdown ball. I got those in the case. I have all my shoes lined up down there. I have my Nintendo 64 down there. I have my arcade game down there and the little stick.
Ooh, what game?
Pac-Man and Tetris.
Oh, nice.
Okay. And whatever else is in there.
I've always thought about like what arcade game would I get. I think I would go NBA Jam.
Yeah.
Ooh, NBA Jam's classic.
That's most definitely. And I'm waiting on my jugs machine to get there, and that's going to be down there in the little storage room.
Wait, your own jugs machine?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be able to actually practice in your basement?
That's a big space.
Yeah.
All right. I remember, who was it? Was it Jason Avant whose wife would like throw him tennis balls in the backyard or something like that? Is your wife gonna have to feed the jugs machine?
I told her I was gonna teach her, but I can't get her to throw me no real football. It's kind of we still gotta work on that.
Yeah.
But
how quickly can you get the baby up to speed?
Yeah. that's when it's gonna come down to tennis balls. I have to see where her arm is at with the tennis ball.
Is the crib downstairs yet?
Oh, no, not yet. We're going to let cave. The... Yeah.
I'm
the
waiting to cave. See. Yeah, that's a real test if that eventually ends up down there.
Not the man cave.
Josh Huff, first episode of the interview here on the Eagles Insider Podcast. Josh, best of luck at training camp.
Thanks for having me.
Look forward to you running angry, running over some guys.
Most definitely.
Time to get ready for game day. It's time for Enemy Intel.
All right, we are back in the studio on the Eagles Insider Podcast, known by some as Eagles Beakley. I can say that with Chris out because it's just Bo and Fran here. And this is important. If you search Eagles Beakley, you should still get to the Eagles Insider Podcast channel. Fran put it in the metadata.
It's the tip of the cap to Bo, because I knew he would ask me about it. I felt the need to make sure that could happen.
All right, so back here on Eagles Beakley, it's time for Enemy Intel, where every week Fran and I will talk about some of the things that we need to know, you guys need to know about the opposition that week. But obviously, with training camp on the horizon, that's not necessarily the case right now. So what we're going to do is talk about the three NFC East teams, Dallas, the Dallas Cowboys, the New York Giants, and Washington. And we are going to say they're big storylines heading into training camp. So let's start at the top with Dallas, Fran. And I think the big question immediately is how do they replace the man who spurned them to come to the Eagles, DeMarco Murray?
Yeah, it's been a big topic throughout the past couple of months because
all the meat left on the bone.
Exactly. I'm all the analogies that come with it as well. So, I think that Joseph Randle looked pretty good in the minimal snaps.
He's fine. Joseph Randle is fine.
No question. I think that in that scheme, I think that he should put up decent numbers. If you're a fantasy football player, I think that I don't know that he's going to match what DeMarco Murray did last year, obviously, but I think that he could be a nice player if he's the full-time back. Now, Darren McFadden is there as well. We know Darren McFadden's got a load of ability, so we'll see exactly what if he's able to bring that to the forefront with that offensive line blocking for him. It's a stretch scheme. It's a one-cut scheme that theoretically he should have a lot of success in. Obviously, he's struggled to have success throughout his career, so after being a top-five pick coming out of Arkansas, which is Jerry Jones' alma mater, that's one of the reasons why he's there. But I'm going to be interested to see how this all pans out. I would lean more towards Joseph Randall, I think, being the lead ball carrier than McFadden.
Though. Any interest on your part in Lance Dunbar, Ryan Williams, or Lake Seastrom?
Well, I did see today, actually, that they are going to release Ryan Williams.
Oh, well, then
so they're so
no
you can cross him off the list. He was a former second-round pick.
I saw people like predicting that Ryan Williams was doing that job. Give me a break.
But yeah, because he was a former second-round pick, and it's like, it was kind of a chic
that's
thing.
What happens to his body.
Sure, right, exactly.
All right, what's your other your main storyline?
Well, the other thing with them is just, can their defense match the level of their offense? Obviously, they bring back Tony Romo. They re-signed Dez Bryant to that big deal. So now, can their defense step up? You know, you've got Rolando McClain, who got suspended. Sean Lee's coming off the injury. The secondary's got to stay. You know, has got to be consistent because a year ago, you know, you had guys that were very, very up and down. Mo Claiborne hasn't exactly worked out yet. They've lost a lot of guys at the second level of that defense with Anthony Spencer leaving. Justin Durant, Bruce Carter have all left. So they brought in some help from the in terms of pass rush. Greg Hardy, Randy Gregory. We'll see if both guys can take the field and if they can be productive for them. But that'll be the big question is, can that defense look to at least come close to matching the output of that offense?
All right, let's move on from Dallas to the New York Giants. They made some interesting moves in the offseason. One that piqued your interest, Fran, is adding some help beyond Rashad Jennings and Andre Williams in the passing game, at least at running back Shane Vereen.
And Vereen, everyone knows, has been, you know, kind of that do-it-all Swiss Army knife for the New England Patriots over the past few years. And I think in that offense, he almost could be used in a way, and I'm not saying he is this guy, obviously, but he almost could be used in a way that the Packers have used Randall Cobb in the past as a guy that can get moved all around the field. The Packers have put Randall Cobb into the backfield. They move him into the slot. They put him out wide. I see Vereen as that kind of a player in a similar offense to what they're running in Green Bay. I think Vereen could be that kind of a Swiss Army knife for that offense. And look, that offense, Eli Manning in the second year of it, I think they're going to be kind of scary, especially you have Odell Beckham for sure. I think Larry Donnell is going to take the next step. So the big question is, can that offensive line hold up, which is the second part of this segment. They brought in Marshall Newhouse to be a backup. He's going to get forced into the starting lineup now because of Will Beatty's injury in the offseason. They drafted Eric Flowers. He's definitely going to have to start now if they want Justin Pugh to slide inside the guard. So they've got some players there, but now they're going to have to do some shuffling because of the injury to Beatty. Can Marshall Newhouse withstand being a every-game starter? He hasn't shown in the past that he can do that. So that'll be a big question for them moving forward.
My question for the Giants is always, how many interceptions can Eli Manning throw? Because, you know, he always manages to surprise you and throw more than you think. But, I mean, that offensive line, beyond those five guys, is pretty weak. I'm looking at their Our Lads depth chart. You know what their backup left tackle is, according to Allard's at least? This may not be in their board, but
right.
Michael Bamiro.
Really?
Yeah. They've also got Dallas Reynolds in there. So,
well, who's their? They have Flowers as their starting left tackle.
Yes.
And Newhouse is the starting right tackle.
Right. Emmett Cleary is the backup right tackle. They've got John Jerry, who started for a few years.
That's what I'm talking about. They're in an issue right now.
And they also, who's going to start at safety next to Landon Collins? Cooper Taylor?
Yeah,
good luck.
That's an issue. So okay. they lost a number of guys to say they lost Quentin Depps, they lost Stevie Brown, they lost Dontrell Roll. That was why they needed to bring in Landon Collins. And we talked about it all spring. What are the issues with Landon Collins and coverage? It'll be interesting to see how he is how he's used, and then how he ultimately performs this fall.
All right, so that's the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants. Now we move on to the team in Washington, and Fran, it starts for every team at quarterback. Can Robert Griffin finally look like he did as a rookie?
That's the question. And you know, you talk to a guy like Greg Cosell, who obviously watches all the tape.
Certainly does.
And Greg will say, look, he was as down as anybody on Robert Griffin III a year ago, especially in the middle of the season. Would say that, you know, how lost he looked back there, how the timing just needed to get completely reworked from scratch. And now, you know, towards the end of the season, how he improved a little bit. So can he take that improvement from the last couple weeks of the year and build off of that, and hopefully, you know, for their sake, take the next step? So RG3, if he can take the reins as that starting quarterback, if not, will it be Colt McCoy? Will it be Kirk Cousins? And if that's the case, it will be more of the same, most likely, for Washington. The other question is going to be on defense, that secondary. It's been an issue for them for years, for really as long as we can remember. They've put a lot of money into the position, you know, as of late, but as is almost always the case with Washington, the money hasn't always resulted in a huge production. So you've got Chris Culliver, who they brought over the 49ers. Another stand-up guy. Yeah, another former 49er in Deshaun Goldston, who got a big money deal from the Tampa Bay Bucks and didn't work out. They've brought him into the fold. D'Angelo Hall is coming back from that torn Achilles he suffered against the Eagles a year ago. So a lot of question marks
Jerron
there.
Jerron Johnson, who McGlewin knew from his time in Seattle.
That's true. Yeah, and that's the thing is that they've got a personnel guy there now, and Scott McGlewin, who you know has quite the track record. I think that he's got them on the right track. For this year, though, those are going to be some of the big questions.
All right, well, that'll do it for the first edition of Enemy Intel. Now it's time to bring C-Mac back in the fold, and I'll take over as the game master. It's game time.
Get out your scorecards. It's game time.
That's pretty good. We're all hearing these drops for the first time. Well, Chris and I are hearing these drops for the first time, not Fran, but that's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it is game time, and I guess I am the game master. So today we're going to go with a game that became very popular during Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA. I was trying to think of a better name. Maybe I will later. But for now, it is once again, who will be?
The classic.
All right, classics. And so these are all training camp-related questions, training camp and preseason. We're going to start with a couple of preseason ones. All right, you ready?
Preseason.
Who will lead the Eagles in rushing in the preseason?
Ryan Matthews.
You both say Ryan Matthews?
Yeah.
I'll go Ryan Matthews. You know, he's not going to be the number one guy, but I think he's getting enough of a lead role in the preseason. You know, the second, third quarter guy that I think he'll be the guy.
Yeah, I agree with the same, you know, for the same premise that he may not be the lead guy, but he's going to get a bunch of those carries in the second, third quarter. I see Matthews is the leading rusher.
I'll take Kenyon Barner.
Okay.
There you go.
I'll take Kenyon Barner. Can you name who was the leading rusher last season for the Eagles in the preseason?
Henry Josey.
That's correct.
Good call.
That's correct. All right. Similar question. Who will lead the Eagles in receiving in the preseason?
Ooh, this is an interesting one.
I'm trying to take a second. I'm trying to go through the roster beyond the first.
This is interesting. I'm going to go Trey Burton.
Interesting.
Ooh.
Very interesting.
Trey Burton. I think you know he's going to get a lot of reps there at the third tight end. And I think they're going to try and see what they can get out of Trey Burton. Obviously, he's going to see an increased role in 2015 after James Casey moved on after last season. So I think this will be a big summer
for
Trey.
Okay, I like that.
Trey.
That's a good guess.
And you guys know I was a big fan of him coming out of Florida.
Sure.
So I'm excited.
I'm going to lean toward Miles Austin, the crafty veteran.
Interesting.
Because I think, again, it's going to be a guy you're looking at. Jordan Matthews is going to be a starter. He's not going to get a ton of time. Right now, Josh Huff, Riley Cooper, during the spring, they were working in as those top guys. I'm trying to think of someone in that second tier, like a Caron Pratt, you know, someone of that ilk who might be able to have a big enough role. And you figure Miles Austin, who I still think can be productive, even though he had the freak injury last year, still think that he can put up some yards and catches. He's going against these, you know, second, third teamers. I think he's going to have a chance to shine.
But how much do you really need to see of Miles Austin?
And that's
Austin
a fair point.
Preseason.
And I think that's the one thing that complicates the answer. But he's still battling for a job, so I think he's going to need to prove his worth. So
all right, I will take Nelson Aguilar. I will say that he needs the work.
Fans will be happy about that one.
I'm going to take Nelson Aguilar. BT gives his nod to Josh Huff. All right, last one that is like this: who will lead the Eagles in tackles in the preseason?
Ooh.
And by the way, could you name who led him in receiving last year?
In receiving last year, I want to say Jeff Mail.
Correct initials, incorrect answer.
Jordan Matthews.
Correct.
Jordan Matthews,
correct.
Okay.
All right. Tackles. Who will lead the Eagles in tackles?
Who will lead the Eagles in tackles? My guy, Jordan Hicks.
It was like, who's your guy?
Jordan Hicks.
Yeah, you got a lot of guys.
That's true. Jordan Hicks.
The Eagles'
third-round pick. I think we'll see a lot of time, especially late in the game. With all the depth at inside linebacker for the Eagles, he's not going to be coming in until third quarter, you know, maybe fourth quarter in the third game. So I like Jordan Hicks here.
Okay.
I'm going to go. I like that position. Like, I almost want to say Emmanuel
Acho. I think
that's
the position where you have to say.
That is the position. Let me go Emmanuel Acho, a guy who I almost want to say led the team in tackles last.
That is correct. Would be back to back for
double dip.
That would be interesting. Has anyone ever done that in Eagles preseason history? So I'll go Acho.
Okay. If he does do it, you almost have to make that a verb. But much like he
got
Acho'd. Yeah, he feel-ied it.
Yeah.
I like that.
Got the age of Feely, got the Emmanuel Acho. I think I would have said Acho, but to be different, I will go with Najee Good.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
All right.
So you're a sly one.
So bad.
That's right. All right. Who will be involved in the first training camp scuffle? You don't have to give me both parties, but who will one of the sides be?
Was it last year? Wasn't it McCoy and I want to say Trent Cole?
I think you might be right.
I think it was. Yeah.
Because Trent was getting tired of McCoy like chipping every play and was like, dude, get this little guy off of me. And neither of them here, so no repeat winners there. I'm trying to think of which of the O linemen is gonna break out. I'm feeling a little Andrew Gardner.
Oh,
okay, I can see that.
I can see that.
Little Andrew Gardner. Yeah. Typically, you go O lineman.
Yeah, typically it's the Cole McCoy was odd because usually it's either O line, D line, or corner wide receiver.
Oh. I'm staying same position. I'm gonna go Allen Barber. Got a little chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Missed most of the season.
Got something
to prove. Yep. Okay. I think it'll be Barber. Although, then you're talking ones on ones. Although the Shady and Cole was one on one ones on ones as well. So we'll see.
Oh, you know who I'm leaving out? Brian Braman.
Oh yeah.
Oh yes, that's the that would probably be the chalk answer.
I'm sticking with Gardner, but now I'm thinking about it, I'm just like Brian Braman smells like the guy who will just be.
This is tough. I was thinking about going Braman, but it's too obvious.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for a kind of underdog here. I'm going to say someone tests the rookie Jacory Shepard, and he bites back.
Okay.
All right. I like it.
Okay.
Travis Rasidi,
possibility. well, good thing you mentioned Travis Rasidi because he's a possible answer here.
Okay.
Who will be one of the players, if there is one, to make the team, make the 53 as an undrafted free agent? Two guys in Chip Kelly's first two seasons have made it each year. Damian Square and Matt Tobin year one.
Okay.
Cody Parkey and Trey Burton last year. If there is one this year, who will it be?
I want to lean. Look, I already put my put my faith in. I'm going to go Malcolm Bunch.
Really?
From UCLA.
Oh,
okay.
Double down.
Yeah. Guard from UCLA, athletic guy. He's got good size.
There is certainly an opening for one of the offensive linemen to make an impact.
Yeah, no question. So
make a run.
I'm gonna go Bunch.
Okay.
I feel like the chalk answer is Denzel Rice, and I think that's where you want to lead. You did the nice little feature on him in the spring.
It's okay. It's tough. A lot of guys. A lot of bodies at corner are gonna be tough.
It's Travis Rasidi.
Oh, you're going to Rasidi.
Ah, interesting.
When speaking with Fletcher Cox, did a one-on-one interview with him during the spring, asked him who stood out, and he went to Rasidi. So I was like,
wow.
The question is, whose spot does he
take? It's crowded, right?
Because
it's a crowded spot.
A crowded D-line field. So I'm going to go with Rasidi.
If you had gone Rice, I would have gone Rasidi since you took Rasidi.
I would take Rice.
Of course, we saw Travis Rasidi all those months ago at the East Rice Shrine game. So.
Murphy Betts.
All right, last one. This is now... You're going to have to remind me because I know who it came down to last year, but I don't know who ended up winning. But who will be the last player on the roster to be interviewed? Last year it was either Josh Kadu,
it was Kadu,
or Don Hawkins. And I think it ended up being Kadu. Donald Hawkins, the undrafted offensive lineman from Texas.
Okay.
This is a fun game. This is a fun game to follow every training camp. The last player to be interviewed.
Wow. And this is including veterans. If we're saying starting from scratch.
Absolutely. All 90 guys on the roster. Well, 89 at the moment.
The last
soon to be 90
guy will be, as we're taping this, is 89. I'm just buying myself some more time.
This is a tough one.
I mentioned him earlier.
Okay.
I think it could be Jeff Mail.
That's a good one. Yeah,
because
that's a good answer.
We're kind of past the Oregon
His story
thing.
Has been told.
There's a lot of new faces.
Yep.
He's kind of sort of the forgotten guy.
That's
almost
a good answer.
You know, but the thing about the skill position is if he catches an 80-yard touchdown, he'll be the story of the day.
I mean, I would say Ed Reynolds, but we know one person in the media will go to him and get a story from him.
That's
so.
Right. You could go back to Copeland if you want to stay at that position.
Yeah, but I feel like the secondary guys are going to get hit on pretty quickly.
Probably.
That's why I'm kind of thinking maybe one of the tight ends, one of the undrafted tight ends.
That's a good one. I like that. I like that.
You got to stick your. There's three of them. You got to stick your fork in one of them.
pick one for me, and I'll go with it.
No, you can't name him, can you?
No.
You got
Eric Tomlinson from UTEP.
From UTEP. Yeah. I'm gonna go Eric Tomlinson. Sounds great.
Do you know the other two? Do you know one or the other two?
No, not right now. Not off the top of my head.
Wow.
Justin Tukes
is sleeping on the job. These are your guys, man. You're supposed to know these.
This
guys.
Is when, in the scouting community, this is where you win.
Yeah.
My mom could scout Nelson Aguilar. Guys being
thank you. It's good.
Justin Tukes from Central Florida.
Sure.
And?
Andrew Gleichert.
Michigan State.
I'm going to go Eric Tomlinson. Okay. Sticking with my gut.
See, I think you're wrong there. I think you're wrong because Tomlinson has that big beard that makes him noticeable. So I think somebody will talk to him.
So you're thinking Gleichert.
I think Gleichert is more likely to go all and right. talk to than Tomlinson. I'm going to go with another undrafted rookie. I'm going to go with Jordan DeWalt on DJ.
Oh, jeez.
The linebacker.
There you go.
So that's
I'm not
going
to yeah. argue that.
All right. Well, that is our first edition of Game Time. Now it's time to hear from you, the fans of the Eagles Insider Podcast. It's Mailing It In.
Captain, incoming message.
Please check your mailbox.
A new message has arrived.
And now it's time to hear from you, the fans, in our segment, Mailing It In.
Oh, I took my hear from you, the fans line.
I was like the piano here.
I wrote the script for this,
Karen,
so I took your line.
In.
Okay.
At least Fran admits to it. So it's Mailing It In. It's our last full segment here on the season preview, pre-training camp preview edition of the Eagles Insider Podcast. We went on Twitter to solicit questions, and now we're going to delve into them. Some great questions, so let's get things rolling. At Ryan Rivel on Twitter wants to know, plain simple, are the Eagles a better team than they were a year ago, as Chip Kelly says?
Plain and simple, yes. Yeah, I mean, I think that Bo brought it up earlier. They've gotten better at a lot of the weaknesses that you looked at closing the 2014 season. The run game, I think, is going to be better. I think there's an improvement at quarterback. The secondary has gotten better. So, and obviously, the front seven is going to be the front seven from a year ago. So, I'm excited. I think they're definitely a better team.
This is hard because a year ago, I'm trying to think. I'm not thinking of the season. I'm thinking of at this time at training camp last year. Are they better than they were a year ago? And I think they are. The secondary is way better. The linebacking core is probably better. Certainly better in the middle. Obviously, you don't have both Trent Cole and Brandon Graham, but I think overall they're better. The D-line is better because it's the same guys and they're all a year older. The offensive line is the only position where they're definitely not better, I would say. And wide receiver, it's a toss-up. So I guess I would have to say yes, they are better. And they're better at running back. So.
I mean, the reason for optimism last year was you had Nick Foles coming off his big season.
Yes.
So, but I still think you have the greater upside bringing Bradford into the mix.
Right.
So, but I mean,
and Mark Sanchez is better now than he was last year.
Yes. So you go through all the other positions. To us, it's clearly that the Eagles are a better team now than a year ago. Next up, at JRoss_4 on Twitter wants to know, what's your prediction for the starting secondary?
Week one or week like
week
one. Eight?
Let's say week one.
I will say that Walter Thurman wins the starting safety job. And so him and Malcolm Jenkins. I'll go out on a limb and say Byron Maxwell wins the job. This is tough.
Brilliant.
You know, Nolan Carroll is the nominal incumbent, but I'm gonna go on a limb. I'm gonna say Eric Rowe wins the job.
Week one.
I'm gonna agree across the board. I think that Nolan Carroll stays as the dime player, and you've got Eric Rowe on the outside. I think Walter Thurman wins that safety spot, so I'm going to agree.
I'm going to go with Nolan Carroll.
Okay.
Hangs in
smart.
There for the other outside cornerback spot. If we're going to go week eight, maybe that could bring Rowe into the mix a little more, but at least on the onside, I'm going to give it to Carroll. You know, I'm going to give a little love to Earl Wolf.
Wow.
And I don't know if he will win the job per se. I mean, Walter Thurman's been the front
runner. You just
want to
talk nice about him and then say Walter Thurman.
Yeah, I think that's how...
I want to give some love to Ed Reynolds. He's not going to win the job, but what a nice guy.
But I feel like Earl Wolf is someone who has proven that he could be. The question with him is health.
Right.
So I'm going to go on a limb. I'm going to say Earl Wolf on this
nice.
One. I will say Earl Wolf. Just, again, he's flashed at times in the past. It's the knee.
Right.
That's the biggest question with him. So I'm going to go Earl Wolf.
Okay, I like that.
I like it.
All right, number three, at King Keith, _, wants to know who will be the two starting inside linebackers.
Was King Keith with one underscore taken?
It might have been. It's a great question. Week one. It's not specified, but I'm going to say for the season opener, Monday night, September 14th in Atlanta in the Georgia Dome. Who are the two
for the season opener? I think it's going to be Michael Kendricks and Kiko Alonso. I think I know that D'Amico is very advanced in his rehab from a torn Achilles, but it happened mid to late season. That's a long time. Like, is he going to be fully ready? You know, if anybody would be, it would be D'Amico. But I'll play the odds and say Kiko and Kendricks, week one.
I think this storyline, maybe more so than any of the others, I'm most excited to see how it plays out in terms of how the coaching staff decides to deploy these three guys, because they all obviously have very specific skill sets. And, you know, I think that Kendricks and Kiko are very similar in that they share a lot of the same traits. And D'Amico obviously brings so much to the table. I'll be interested to see how, you know, are there going to be ways that they can get all three on the field? And if so, what does that make the rest of the defense look like? But for week one, starting lineup, I'm going to go D'Amico and Kiko.
Yeah, I think that's very possible.
It is very possible. I think in early rundowns, I think that's where D'Amico is going to be brought in more. So I could very easily see if you're going for the first defensive alignment of the season.
Sure.
I think it could be those
two.
Yeah,
and D'Amico, yes. I mean, D'Amico's value is, I mean, this is a silly thing to say, but his value is being on the field, being, you know, running the defense, being the guy to diagnose plays, being in the huddle. That's his biggest value. Whereas, you know, you could see a scenario where Michael Kendricks is just as good if he's only in on third downs. Maybe same with Kiko. But listen, Kiko in 2013 played every single defensive snap for the Bills. So it's not like he's a two-down player.
Right.
So I think it will end up being, if he stays healthy, D'Amico and Kiko.
Right.
But, I mean, it's a great situation to be in because Michael Kendricks is, if he is the third linebacker, he's the best third linebacker in the league.
And I'm excited because I think Kendricks gives you the ability to maybe put him outside as well. We saw that even a year ago when, you know, there were snaps against Washington in week 16 where he lined up over Trent Williams, one of the best tackles in the NFL, and beat him clean. Not even just beat him with speed. Like, I mean, used his hands, beat him clean with a rip move, dipped his shoulder, and got to the quarterback. So, how they use those three guys is going to be very interesting to me.
Certainly. I will agree with Fran. I'm going to go with D'Amico and Kiko for the starting week one inside linebackers. Our fourth question comes from @Dubsco12 and wants to know, Fran just touched on this a little bit, who will be the number three outside linebacker? We're going into it with Connor Barwin and Brandon Graham are your starters. Well, who takes Graham's role from a year ago when he was a number three guy?
Well, as Fran just hinted, I think there's a possibility that you will see a little bit of Michael Kendricks in that role, or maybe even Kiko Alonso. But of the guys who are actually outside linebackers, I guess the two main contenders would be Marcus Smith or Travis Long.
Correct.
Not to count out Brian Braman or my good friend Jordan DeWalt on Dejo. But this is tough. I think I would lean Travis Long. He was going to make the team last year. He's a little more advanced in the defense. I mean, I think we're all hoping that it's Marcus Smith.
No doubt.
But, you know, Nerf gun to my head right now, I would say Travis Long.
What'll be interesting, and this is obviously a multi-layered question too, because, you know, there's all the different sets and all the different subgroups. So the third outside linebacker coming off the bench might be on nickel downs, in which case it might be a defensive end. So you might see Vinnie Curry more out there. You know, so it could be, you know, maybe if it's a passing down that it's Vinnie Curry, and maybe if it's a running down, maybe it's Kendricks or maybe it's Marcus Smith. I think I'm going to lean Marcus Smith here, and it might just be that's what I'm really, really hoping for it to be. But I'm going to go to answer the question. I'm going to go Marcus Smith, but I think it'll be multi-layered. I think you might see, you know, you're going to see Vinnie Curry take more snaps. I think you're going to see Kendricks get more snaps outside. I think it'll be multi-layered.
I think that Marcus Smith is ready to contribute as in coverage as an outside linebacker.
Sure.
But where he needs to really improve is as a pass rusher.
It'll be exciting to watch in the preseason.
Yeah. And that's what it seems like what he was focusing on all offseason. Mm-hmm. It's a shame that he got injured and we couldn't really see him. But at the same time, the spring is not really where you're focused on the defense. This is the time when you start seeing the defense. They get the pads on. They can do a lot more than in the spring when typically the skill position players take flight. I'm going to go Marcus Smith. You know, you've seen other first-year pass rushers struggle.
Sure.
I hope he can make the transition. I think it's also that is you're hoping that they invested a first-round pick in him that he can take that step and be a contributor on this team, I'm going to go with Marcus Smith for the number three guy.
All right.
So, gentlemen, that does it for the training camp.
Going to be back in the saddle.
No question.
Edition of the Eagles Insider Podcast. Again, remember to subscribe. We have individual channels for all of our podcasts, so make sure to subscribe, whether it's iTunes or Stitcher. Make sure you subscribe to the
Beyond
Eagles
Pod. That's what I use.
Use Beyond Pod?
Do you use Beyond Pod?
Really?
Excellent.
Interesting.
I don't get on my work phone, at least.
All right.
Okay.
I mean, again, go to whatever your provider is. Go on, find the channel, rate it, and leave us a comment.
Exactly.
Have you left a comment yet?
Eagles Insider Podcast, Eagle Lie in the Sky Podcast, yep. Journey to the Draft Podcast. Subscribe to them all.
There you
and
go.
The official
collect
Philadelphia
them all.
Eagles
and the official.
Podcast. Yes.
Collect them all.
For everything else. So, for Bo Wolf and Fran Duffy, I'm Chris McPherson. Thank you very much for joining us on the Eagles Insider Podcast.